All right, everyone. I'd like to thank you for coming today. My name is Jordana Bauer, at least that's my character name. Everybody that I've been in alliances with and whatnot just calls me by my first name, so you are more than welcome to call me Dave. Everybody in Eve calls me Dave. Please call me Dave. If you have a question, just say, "Hey, Dave," whatever. If you ever see me in local, say, "Hey, Dave." Like, be called by that, not by Jordana, just because I'm not a girl. I'm sure a lot of us have that issue. Hello. So this will be my first class for the university. I'm really excited to be doing it, actually, because I'm going to school to become a teacher, so this is kind of my shtick. It's really, what interests me, so I figured I would expand that to Eve. So yeah, thanks for coming to my virginity popping lecture. So this is Logistics 101, Intro to Logistics. Basically, the objective of the course is to introduce people to the role of the healer in Eve, which is the logistics ship. We'll be covering what the role of logistics entails, why you should fly it, how they work, the skills required, the ships, as well as some general tactics. I actually developed this syllabus on my own. I know that there was an existing Logistics 101 syllabus. So I decided to take my experience and kind of expand upon that. So my ultimate goal is to create a three-part course consisting of three classes. So this would be the first in the series of three classes. And the goal would eventually be to go from introductory to a little bit more, advanced tactics involving actual fleet combat and whatnot. And then hopefully the end goal would be to talk about triage carriers and general carrier tactics. So I'm hoping that that'll be something that a lot of people are interested in. It's kind of something that I have a bit of experience with, so I hope I can portray it accurately, and yeah. So, like I said, this is my first time running a class, so please bear with me if there are any technical difficulties. I'm just going to outline the general rules for the class. So, again, I've never attended a university class. I've never done anything like this before, so I hope that I am not overstepping any boundaries or anything, but make sure that your mumble settings are on push to talk. If you have any questions, feel free to type them into the chat. If you'd like to just speak up, just maybe X in the channel and I can call your name and then feel free to speak on Mumble. You can be docked wherever you like. I understand that some of the courses have a practical component, but this one does not. So, yeah, you can be anywhere. I'm in the middle of nowhere right now, so we'll just be docked in station. There will be a slideshow that I developed, so I'm going to link that into the chat right now. I tested it out and it does work with the Eve browser, so I think it should be good. So there's the link to the PowerPoint. So I'll give everyone a second to load that up. All right. Yeah, so just click the link. It should. Is it working? Can one person verify? Hey, you can see Logi 101. Working, working. Yes, looks good. Yes, sir. Yep. Okay. Awesome. X, does that mean you have a question, Mr. Ginter? All right. Cool. So let's get started. So this, like I said, is Intro to Logistics 101. So, I'm following the syllabus that I created. It's on the wiki if you want to check it out. Sorry, one more time. I just want to reiterate, this is my first time teaching a class and I developed the syllabus by myself. So there may be a little bit of tweaking that I have to do, maybe afterwards or as I go along. So again, please bear with me, but thanks for being here. All right, so let's get started. So again, this is the introductory course. It's part of a potential 3-class course that I'd like to develop, about what it means to fly logistics. The goal of this course is to lay down a strong foundation. Yes, I'll make sure that the slides are available later on. That's no problem. This lays down a strong foundation for basically everything that you'll need to know to progress into flying logistics full time, flying carriers, whatever interests you. If you're still interested in the course after this one, then you're free to show up to the next ones that I'll hopefully be teaching in the coming weeks. I don't know about next weekend. I might aim for next Saturday kind of at the same time, but we'll have to see. So before I move on, I just want to give you guys a general outline of who I am and what I do in EVE. I started in 2011, so I'm actually a pretty young character. I started originally in 2009 and actually joined the university on the character that I had then, but I didn't play the game for very long and came back to it in 2011. So for the first year, roughly, I just missioned in high-sec space, and then a friend who had a lot more experience in the game asked me to come out to Curse, which is NPC nullsec, which means there's no sovereignty. It's basically just free-for-all, whatever. So I moved to Curse, and I joined an alliance called Brushy Brushy Brushy. There's some videos on YouTube of our antics if you ever want to check them out. Pretty sure you can find them if you just search for that, but I joined Brushy in a corp called eHarmony Incorporated. It's kind of funny name, whatever. And I flew for them for a little bit over a year. I stayed with them consistently, and eventually, probably the first Tech 2 ship that I really worked on was logistics. So I played World of Warcraft. I played a healer pretty much exclusively, so the role really appealed to me, I guess, and I've always enjoyed the support role, so if that's kind of your thing, then I definitely recommend giving it a shot. So since then, I've moved on to pretty much all the variants of Tech 2 ships, but I always have Logi ships in my hangar. I'm always available to fly logistics for my corp. I feel like I have a good grasp of it, and it's, the fleet commanders always ask me to do it, so I think I do a decent job and hopefully have a little bit of a clue about what I'm talking about. I have a lot of alts, actually. I have like 6 accounts, but 2 of them are actually dedicated to logistics, and I actually have 2 triage carrier tunes as well, so I've kind of been around the block in terms of all the character training and whatnot, and everything that comes with the territory of flying logistics and support. All right, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is, if I can get my slide to move over, what is logistics? So again, this is going to be very introductory. It may be very kind of elementary for some people who may be more experienced in EVE, but I wanted to really lay down a solid foundation for those who may not be as experienced or may just simply not be as familiar with EVE yet. So logistics refers to flying a support cruiser. Generally, you're acting as a force multiplier in fleets, so what that means is that you're able to fight gangs that are larger than yourself if you have logistics, because you're able to keep yourself alive longer. Logistics are always in high demand, pretty much always, especially in PvP. Chances are you'll be welcome in any fleet if you're a logistics pilot, especially if you're a good one. So if you're, if you always want to have a place in a fleet, then definitely fly logistics. So what the role means is you're basically there to repair your allies and kind of just keep them maintained. So that can involve refilling their shields, armor, capacitor, and the great thing about the role is that it's actually very, very easy to get into, but it is kind of skill intensive to perfect it. So this may be subject to personal opinion, but this is kind of how I feel about logistics, is I feel that it's a primarily PvP oriented role. So if PvP is not necessarily your thing, you may not find a lot of work, so to speak, as a logistics pilot. Generally, because the kind of the the trinity of healer, tank, DPS doesn't really exist in EVE, so the idea of a dedicated healer doesn't really E as often as it would in, you know, your traditional MMO. But logistics do appear in niche PvE environments, such as incursions, complexes, sleeper sites, and whatnot. I have flown a triage in a wormhole sleeper site type deal before. I've flown logistics for ISN, which is the Incursion Shiny Network, which is, they're just a high-sec incursion group. So I've done PvE logistics before, and it's actually not that different from PvP. I actually started with PvP logistics and moved over, so it was very applicable. I would actually recommend that anybody who's considering doing incursions do PvP first, because it really kind of sets a strong foundation for everything that you'll need to know getting into an incursion. Like, the first day that I flew an incursion, I basically joined the fleet, and it was similar. I knew what to do, because just the general feel of the fleet was very similar. So, again, I would suggest that if you really want to do incursions and, you know, being a healer is your thing, then I would definitely recommend also PvPing as well, because it's very beneficial. Do we have any questions so far about anything I've covered? Just feel free to talk up or speak up in the channel. So, why should you fly logistics? Again, it's very easy to get into, especially recently they revamped the Tech 1 cruisers, and they introduced a sort of T1 version of the logistics ship. So there now exist T1 support frigates and support cruisers as well. The focus of this course is not really going to cover support frigates, so the Tech 1 logistics frigates. To be honest with you, I haven't really messed with them that much, but everything that is covered in this course should be applicable to, you know, any size or level of logistics. So again, logistics pilots are always in high demand. They can fight, when they're in a small fleet, they can fight fleets that are larger than themselves. You'll definitely gain some recognition, because you'll be saving your friends, so they'll be for saving their ships, especially in very close fights. You know, sometimes you'll get people out in structure, sometimes not, as we can see in the picture to the right. Somebody's not having a good time. The reason for that picture is because, generally as an in-joke, at least in the logistics pilots that I've worked with, is the first time you ever fly this logistics is going to be the hardest fleet fight of your life, and trial by fire is probably the best way to learn. So some corps that I've been in, this may not be common, but who knows? Some corps will actually be... Oh, we got an open mic there. There we go. Some corps will give bonuses to logistics pilots, so they'll replace their ships if they lose them, or if they distribute loot, then the logistics pilots will be the first ones to get loot. Or maybe, the corp that I'm in now actually loans out logistics ships to their pilots, so if I lose the ship, it's not really, like, it doesn't hurt my wear, you know, they just replace them, so. Yeah. And again, once you learn, it's actually quite easy. Once you get it down, I find that it's really fun, it's a great role, you make a lot of friends, and it's great, love it. Alright, so this is, again, very rudimentary, but the way that they work is using remote repair modules. This is their primary function, so the idea is to repair your ally, so either shield or armor. So you'll be using remote shield boosters or remote armor repairs, depending on if your fleet is shield or armor. In-game rewards, I'm not sure what you mean, Ephegian, if you could just expand on that and I'll answer you.
Rewards as far as, like, bounty bonuses, anything, do you get locked out of those things?
If you're doing incursions, everybody in the incursion fleet gets the same share, pretty much. So, if in any PvE environment, if you're on field, you'll get bounty ticks and whatnot, and then you will, if you're in incursions, everybody gets the same payout anyway, so.
Awesome, thanks.
Yep. So remote repair modules are very heavy on cap, but the bonus of logistic ships and support cruisers is that they actually reduce the capacitor usage. So they're used by you simply lock up your bro and you hit the module and you'll send them either some shields or armor. So these modules actually function exactly the same as shield and regular local repair modules. So shield transfers will transfer immediately when you activate them, and remote armor repairs will transfer at the end of their cycle. So that's something that you need to keep in mind if you're flying shield versus armor logi, is do you need to cycle your mods early to catch the incoming damage? Yeah, there's some links there. So again, I'm going to cover all of the skills and everything, so don't worry too much about the links just yet. I'll let you know when I'm good for that. So the other modules that you will encounter, these are kind of the secondary mods that are dependent on what you're flying or where you're flying or who you're flying with, but remote cap transmitters, or energy transfers as I believe they used to be called, they allow you to send capacitor to your target. And just like remote repairs, they actually use a lot of capacitor, but the bonuses on logistic ships decreases that value. So with the right skills, you're actually able to send more energy than the energy that you actually use in your capacitor. And just like armor, they transfer at the end of the cycle. So that's maybe something that you need to keep track of. Tracking links are another module that are bonused by support ships. So these are basically tracking computers that you can put on other people, and it functions exactly like a tracking computer. So it'll increase their tracking or their fall off or both, depending on how you have it scripted. Through my experience, and again, I could be wrong, remote tracking computers are not used as commonly in PvP, generally because it may be difficult to coordinate and you usually don't have enough of them to put on everybody. So usually all of the ships in your fleet will have the same engagement profile or engagement range, and you know, adding a bit of optimal or fall off to one person doesn't necessarily help that much, but they are used by incursion runners very frequently, especially for artillery fits. They make sure to put tracking links on the big battleship guns that need the boost, that will definitely benefit from the DPS boost. And finally, we have maintenance bots. So these are drones that can actually repair. So they don't use cap. They can repair shield and armor depending on the type. So there's armor maintenance bots, shield maintenance bots. So to use them, you simply lock up your fleet mate and you engage the drones on them, and then they will fly over and repair. Now, this is something that is definitely debatable, but in my experience, I don't like logistics drones because they can be destroyed by smart bombs and whatnot very easy. And they can be unreliable because they have a travel time to move to the target. So if you're relying on the reps from repair drones to keep somebody alive, there's always a chance that they can be exploded or simply not get there in time. You cannot use maintenance bots to repair your own ship, no. So again, that's just something to keep in mind. When you're flying logistics, you're not necessarily restricted to using maintenance bots, so you don't necessarily feel pressured that you have to use them, but some of the ships do have bonuses to them. Yeah. They definitely do repair a lot. So, like, they can be good, but, you know, it's definitely a matter of debate. You can fit your ship however you want, but I personally don't use them. I've seen incursion fits that use them simply because, you'll generally be all clumped together and it might be easier to use them, but I don't have a lot of experience with them because I don't feel that they're reliable. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to talk about are the skills required. So I made a little comic here about basically, you know, just playing Eve in general. That I feel is very true. So these are the bare minimum skills. So if I could just I don't know if you want to link every skill, because it might be a lot, but if you're interested in the list, I can link the syllabus after, and it has the full list of every single skill that I'm going to go through. So your minimum skills, yeah, sure, go ahead, Max, thank you. So the minimum skills will be, in order to fly a T1, all you need is the racial frigate or cruiser skill. So I suggest level 4, level 5 is always good. But, you know, bare minimum, you want to have level 4, because each level of, at least for the T1 variants, they give bonuses to, you know, better cap usage on the mods and stuff. So it's actually really useful to have the level at 4 or 5, because it reduces the amount of energy that you use, and that's really important with logistics. So for the Tech 2, you'll need Racial Cruiser 5 and Logistics 1, and then Logistics actually requires SIG analysis and long-range targeting to 5 as well. There we go, that's the Logistics skill. You don't need the logistics skill to fly the T1 variants at all. So if you want to jump into a support cruiser right now, all you need is the support frigate or cruiser skill. For shield boosters, you need shield emissions 1. For remote armor repairs, you need remote armor repair systems. Capacitor transmitters require capacitor emission systems. All three of those skills will reduce the cap usage of those mods, so it's really important that you don't have them at level 1. I suggest level 4 minimum. To be completely honest with you, up until about a couple weeks ago, I had all of these skills at 4, and I had no problems. So, as long as you have decent capacitor skills, level 4 is enough to get you by. For tracking links, you need sensor linking. For T2, I believe you need level 4. And then for maintenance bots, you need basically repair drone operation. I have this at level 4. I don't have Tech 2 because I don't use them very often, but if you want Tech 2, you can go for repair drone operation 5. And then it requires drones 5, shield emission systems, or remote armor repair systems, depending on the brand that you're using. So next I'm going to go over all of the recommended skills. This is going to be extremely in-depth. I don't know if you want to link all of these because there's going to be a ton. But again, if you want to see the full list, I can link the syllabus at the end of the class and you guys can check it out. I would also recommend using EVEMON. Skill planning is very important. It can really kind of shed light on the skills that you're going to need, and really helps you plan out the skill books that you need and whatnot. So I'd really recommend investing in EVEMON if you haven't checked it out yet. So you want your fitting skills. So you have your power grid and your CPU skills. Both of these, you know, they're very elementary skills and they really need to be at 5. Most logistics fits will be very tight, so I recommend having both of these at 5 right away. And for almost any ship that you fly, you want to have these skills at 5 no matter what. As for tanking, it depends on if you're flying shield or armor. You have, you know, your shield HP, armor HP, structure HP skills. Those are very elementary that everybody should have. Then you have your shield support skills like the recharge, the penetration, the shield upgrades to unlock T2 mods. And then you have your armor skills, the armor compensation skills. Those are kind of important, especially if you're flying fits that use energize EANMs, whatever, energize adaptive nanomembranes. I think that's the first time I've ever actually said the full thing. And then you have your general rigging skills. So depending on if you're flying shield or armor, there's all the skills that you would need to tank, and then it highlights what T2, what skills you need to get the T2 for each. So these are all the capacitor skills. So you have your general capacitor management and operation skills, which increases your total capacitor and recharge rate. Oh, there we go, all the tanking skills. Thanks, Max. So the capacitor skills I'd recommend having at level 4 or 5. I believe capacitor management takes about 12 days or so. I've always ran with capacitor management 4. I'm working on getting it to 5 right now. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, don't worry. Capacitor systems operations, which is the recharge rate, is actually very easy to get to 5. I believe it's a 3-day train, so I'd recommend getting that to 5. Capacitor management, you can get by with having it at level 4, but again, it's always beneficial to have it at level 5. For energy grid upgrades, allows you to unlock capacitor mods, so you want to have that at 3 or 4. Shield emission systems, remote armor repair systems, and capacitor emission systems, which we already spoke about, they reduce the capacitor usage of your mods. So having those at level 4 is very important to reducing, but getting them to level 5 again is very beneficial. Alright, so your targeting skills, you have target management and advanced target management. This increases the number of targets that you can target at once. This is something that I'm not proud of, but I have target management 3, so I can target 5. And I've always flown logistics that way. It's a little tougher. People make fun of me for it all the time, but, you know, I've kind of learned to deal with being only able to target 5. I'm close to remapping for intelligence and memory, so I'll be able to get on that soon, but if you really want to challenge yourself, you can go with, you know, 3, 4, 5 targets, whatever. So you have your long-range targeting skill, which is exactly what it sounds like. Signature analysis, which is targeting speed. I believe both of these skills are required for T2 logistics anyway, so, but it's important to get these skills at 5 because targeting is a huge deal for logistics, probably more than any other ship. And then you have your sensor compensation skills, which increases your sensor strength. So that comes in all 4 of the variants. And each variant matches up with a race of ship. So sensor strength stops you from being jammed by electronic warfare. That's basically all I'm going to say right now. But they're important for logistics because you don't want to be jammed, because you want to be able to target. As for navigation, I've listed pretty much all of the subcap navigation skills. So you have your general speed skills, your agility skills, and then you have your prop mod skills. So navigation and spaceship command and evasive maneuvering, I'd definitely recommend getting to 5. Evasive, you can get away with 4, but for PvP, you'll always want to have it at 5 so you can get away and chase targets. And then you have all of your general prop mod abilities. So you have your AB modifiers, your micro warp drive modifiers, the efficiency, the speed. Armor layering is a bit of a redheaded child in this equation because it doesn't really fit in anywhere, but I felt that it kind of fit in with navigation, because what it does is removes the mass penalty from plates. But it's not worth getting to level 5, and there's actually some math behind that. I read an article about it. But getting a couple levels in that is very important if you're armor tanking, because it will make the plates slow you down less. Alright, as for the drone skills, as you can see, there's a ton of them, and this is kind of... it's not as important for logistics, but at the same time it is, because you'll always want to have your drones out doing something, because every logistics ship can field 5 drones, and it's almost wasteful to not use them, even to just do a little bit of damage, or to mess with the enemies, or even want to just use the bot. So there are a ton of drone support skills. You've got your number of drones, the damage done, the HP, the speed, optimal ranges. The electronic warfare drone skill, I just want to touch on this really quick, actually increases your drone control range. And a lot of people don't know that, so check out that skill if you don't have it, because it can get you, I believe it's 3K per level, so it's actually significant. With level 5/4 skills, you can get roughly about 54 kilometers of control range, which is very useful. Okay, so these are your general skills here, so these are kind of the ones that don't really fit in anywhere else. So we have electronic warfare, which unlocks ECCM, which stops you from being jammed, and electronic warfare drones, which can allow your drones to jam other targets. Electronics upgrades unlocks low slot ECCM. This is useful in shield fits that don't have a lot of mid slots to use because they're using them for tanks. The energy pulse weapon skill, this is kind of, you wouldn't want to be using these in incursions because you'll get concorded, or anywhere in high sec for that matter, but, smart bombs can be useful on some logistic ships to get drones off of you. Sometimes a fleet will fit some smart bombs on their logi to protect them from drones, or they will actually assign another ship with smart bombs to support the logistics and keep the drones off of them. Then you have your cybernetic skill, which I think everybody should have, at least for the little bit of skill training boost if you're not getting potted every day. But they also unlock hardwiring, which can increase your ability to fly the ship with stat boosts and whatnot. Then you have your thermodynamic skill. This is a very important skill for logistics because you will be overheating all the time. Every time somebody gets primaried and they don't broadcast fast enough, you'll need to target them and they'll be crying for reps and then you'll feel bad if they die, so you have to repair your shield boosters or your armor repairs to keep them alive. And what that does is it makes them cycle faster so you can get the reps on them quicker. Then you have the nanite skills, which allow you to repair burnt modules. And then the nanite interfacing allows you to repair faster. So paste is something that you should be flying with all the time in logistics. I always carry at least 300 units of paste. And I probably use, in a fight, I probably will come out after using about 50 to 100 of them, depending on how long the fight is. Yeah, if they don't broadcast, that's their fault, though. That's true. Alright, so now we're going to get talking about the ship. So I'm going to cover the T1 and T2 variants of the logistics cruisers. This is probably, where I have the most experience. Obviously, I have a triage carrier. I've used it a couple times, but Logi T1 support cruisers more recently I've done a lot of, so. I'm just gonna take you over the bonuses. So if I could get you to link, starting from the top, the Augurer, and we will talk about the bonuses. Okay, so if you want to just open the Augurer, that's linked in chat there. So as you can see, first of all, let's look at the roll bonus. So it gets a big boost to the range of repairs, armor repairs, and energy transfers. And then it also boosts the energy transfer amount. So what this does is it takes the roughly 5 to 8 kilometer range of logistics modules and pushes them out to about 55 to more. The Amar Cruiser bonus increases the repair amount. So that's actually really useful and another reason why you should have it at 4. And then the 5% reduction bonus is again very useful because it will reduce your capacitor usage. So when you're using remote armor repairs, you will actually not be using as much cap, which otherwise the mod would cap you out instantly. Alright, so let's take a look at the Osprey. So the Osprey is kind of, in a nutshell, the shield version of the Augurer. You can kind of compare them because they have very similar bonuses. So they have the energy transfer amount, the range boosts, but their boosts are applied to shield transport. So you get a higher boost from your shield transport, the capacitor usage, and you get longer range. Now we'll look at the Exequer. So you get a bonus here to remote armor repair and cap usage. So this is an armor logistic. And then the roll bonuses are again for bonus range to remote armor repairs. And this one actually has a bonus to Logi drones. So if you want to be using Logi drones, this would be the ship to be using them in. You'll also notice that there are no bonuses to energy transfers. Generally, it's not... you don't want to be using energy transfers on these ships, but you can use them on the Augur and Osprey because of the bonuses. You usually don't want to be using energy transfers without a bonus. Alright, so let's look at the site. By the way, I'm going to go over some fits later on, so this is just a general introduction to the ships. We're definitely going to get into some deep fitting discussion, so... So here's the Scythe. It has pretty much the same bonuses as the Exequer. You can compare them pretty much the same as you could the Augur and the Osprey. So it has the shield transport boost, the capacitor usage, the range, and the logistics drone repair amount. So again, you can use logistics drones in this ship and they will be bonus. And again, there are no energy transfer bonuses. So if I could get the T2 links, please. Okay, so these are the T2 variants. So they have the same models as the T1 ships. They have similar bonuses as well, but they have an extra bonus because if you check it out, they actually have the cruiser bonus, the logistics bonus, and the roll bonus. So for anybody that's not familiar with Tech 2 ships, is that they actually have two leveled bonuses. So you actually get the bonuses from the cruiser or frigate or battleship skill, but you also get the bonus from the T2 skill. So these will scale based off of your cruiser and your logistics skill. So as you can see here, yeah, the roll bonus is static, so it's always flat. So as you can see here, they have a bonus to energy transfer and remote armor range, and then they have a bonus to bots as well. So this is kind of backwards because the Augurer did not have rep bonuses to drones, but this one does. The logistics bonus is a reduction to the capacitor usage of their mod. So this is kind of a general thing with logistics, is generally the cruiser skill will give you the range or whatever, and the logistics skill will reduce the capacitor. So when you're flying T2, the logistics skill is actually your determining factor for the power of your capacitor. You can generally fly with logistics level 4. It's always recommended to go for Logi 5. Yeah, you get a huge bonus at level 5. You basically use, you know, a small chunk of the capacitor that you would be using. I flew with logistics 4 for a while, and it works. But logistics 5 is definitely recommended. So let's check out the Basilisk. So this is the Kaldari. It's the T2 variant of the Osprey. And it has pretty much the same bonuses, but for shield. So it's comparable, just like the Augurer and the Osprey are. So it has the shield bonuses, the transfer energy transfer bonuses, and the bot bonuses. And then, again, the logistics skill buffs the capacitor usage, which is, again, very useful. And then they have that static reduction... which can change depending on the ship. This one has the reduced CPU because shield reps tend to use a lot of CPU, and they have a negative to the power use of energy transfer. So one thing that I want to point out again is that the Guardian and the Basilisk and the T1 variants have bonuses to energy transfers. This is going to be important. I'll talk about a little bit about it later on. But this is going to be important, so just keep that in mind. So next we have the Oneiros. So this is the Galenti Tech 2 Logistic. So it has the remote armor repair system bonus, and it actually has a tracking link bonus, and I believe the Scimitar has this as well. So both of these have a tracking link bonus, and then they also have a bot bonus as well. So I guess all of them have the bot bonus. And then again, the logistics skill helps to reduce the capacitor usage of its module. So again, I just want to point out that there are no energy transfer bonuses on this ship or the Scimitar when we look at it. So I just want you to keep that in mind. So generally, you don't want to be using energy transfers on the Galenti and Minmitar variants. Their bonus is to... is the first, I guess, the cruiser, the first cruiser bonus. So if you see, it says 150% bonus to remote armor repair and tracking link range. And then it's kind of weird how they wrote it, and then it's 20% bonus to bots. So yeah, they do have the range bonus. I'm not quite sure how the T1 compared to the T2 range. I haven't really thought about it. I've flown both, but it's kind of just a thing that I haven't thought about. Yeah, once you're flying T2, you already have Cruiser 5, so you pretty much always have the maximum bonuses from that if you're flying T2. Alright, so let's look at the Scimitar. Just relink it right there. Well, there you go. I guess they have shorter range. Generally, though, you'll be using bigger transfers and reps on the Tech 2, so I think range bonus kind of evens out a little bit because you're using the larger modules. Yeah. So this is a Scimitar. It's comparable to the Oneros, basically the shield variant of it. Has the boost to bots, the boost to range, and then the logistics skill has to do with the efficiency of the module. So again, reducing that capacitor. Alrighty. So next, before we get into the real, you know, the real meat about the specific ships, I really, really, really wanted to touch on this, and I think that this is something important that a lot of people may not think about, but it's actually so important to how you fit your logistics, and any ship in general, I guess. But when you're flying logistics, there's never one fit for every fleet. That's something that you keep in mind. There's almost never one single fit that will be compatible with every single fleet, because fleets will be different based on their speed, how far they can engage, the damage ranges that they have, what they can fight against, how fast they are. Just, there's so many variables that you can't account for. So your logistics fittings need to be as flexible as your fleet. So what I want to talk about before I expand into the specific ships is I just want to talk about the general roles that you'll be looking at. And if there's anything that I want you to take away from this is this right here. This is probably the most important thing that I'm going to talk about. So the first role, and this is kind of just stuff that I made up, but I think that it makes sense, and anybody that's done fleet combat will probably, you know, have a good idea of what I'm talking about or what I'm getting at. But the first role that I defined was the skirmish role. So this means that your fleet is fast and agile, potentially lighter tanked because they're very quick, and they rely on speed to avoid damage. So they'll be kiting away, they'll be transversaling, they'll generally be pulling away. So you'll see these in kiting fleets like Nano, Cruisers and Battlecruisers, Vagabonds, Talos, Cinnables, as well as sniper fleets, so your Tornadoes, your Nagas. So when you're flying logistics for this type of fleet, it's completely possible that you'll be the only logistics pilot in your fleet. So one logistics for maybe, 10 guys, or hopefully not more, but I'd say that that's a good number. So again, it's completely possible that you'll be the only logistics ship, which means that you cannot be repaired by anybody else. So if you're getting hit, the idea is to not get hit. So this kind of role is all about avoiding damage and not getting tackled. So these ships are very capacitor intensive because they're on their own and they have to function only with what they have on their ship. And they are vulnerable to electronic warfare because they're probably not with a large fleet. Skirmish fleets are generally like very small gang, like, 10 to 15, like I said. Kiting means that you are moving away from your targets and applying damage while staying out of their damage range. So if you have a longer range than them, you can move away, keep shooting them and applying your damage, but they are not close enough to you to hit you. But that's a topic for another course. Okay, does anybody have a question about the skirmish role? What I mean by that? Any other questions? This is probably where I have the most experience, because generally in NPC Null, you'll see lots of small gangs very fast and whatnot. Alrighty, so the next role is brawling. So this means that you're in a ship that's just a big bag of bricks that's just going to take punishment. So it's very survivable, has a heavy, heavy EHP buffer. Generally, the ship's maybe using afterburners to sig tank, which means that you're speed tanking. Somebody has an open mic there. So generally, you'll be using afterburners to avoid fire, so you'll be transversaling and dodging your enemy's fire, so to speak. I'm not really going to get into transversaling and sig tanking, but... And it's harder for you to disengage, because generally your fleet will be slower. So once you engage, it'll be much harder for you to pull out of the fight. So in this case, when you're flying logistics, you'll generally be working in a larger squad and sometimes chained together with cap transmitters. So this is where the Guardian and the Basilisk and their T1 variants will shine, because what they can do is they can transfer energy to each other, and because they use less capacitor on their transfers, they can actually gain energy when they transfer. I disagree. I don't think cap chains are that painful if you have a strong group. I suppose it could be. So brawling logistics will generally be less vulnerable to E-War, but it still can be an issue. Now, I say that they're less vulnerable because you have other logistics on the field with you. So if you're jammed, they can rep. If you're getting neutered, they'll be able to support you with capacitor and whatnot. Yeah, the whole creating energy by transferring, yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Does anybody have questions about brawling? Brawling is probably the most self-explanatory. You go in and you beat the crap out of each other until one side comes out victorious. Okay. So,
Sorry, I had a brief question.
Yeah, go for it.
It's not so much a question as something that's probably worth explaining. Just how important planning cap chains is, really.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm getting to it.
Yeah, ignore me.
Okay, so the final role is large fleet. I actually didn't mention, the corporation that I'm in was a member of Black Legion for about a month or two. I'm not really sure. I kind of joined them when they were halfway through their tenure in there. But so I did do a little bit of large fleet stuff. I don't have a lot of experience with Sov warfare because I feel that it's very blobby. But for some people, that's their thing. But when I'm talking about large fleet, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, you know, 100 ships per side, a couple hundred things on grid with you all at once. People are getting shot everywhere, and it's just a big ball of death going in multiple directions. So for your large fleets, you'll generally be using brawly type ships, just heavy tank, big brick, big, just bag of brick ships that can just take damage. Afterburners are recommended unless the fleet is meant to be mobile. So some fleets maybe, you know, maybe they're using micro warp drives to kite. I will admit I don't have a lot of experience with huge fleet combat like this. I've done a little bit, but I hate time dilation. It's kind of my thing. So I tend to avoid it. In these type of fleets, you'll generally be using a capacitor chain, but the thing that you need to think about is that it can be disrupted very easily. So if you're in a fleet of 100 and you have maybe 10 guys doing logistics and you're chained together, it's completely possible that the other fleet will simply start to alpha your logi off the field. It's totally possible. I've been in the situation before. It sucks. So if you're using a capacitor chain, it's possible that 100 guys are just going to shoot one of your guardians and they're just dead. And that's going to disrupt your chain. So it's going to make it very difficult to coordinate. So some fleets will use capacitor chains. Some fleets will use larger squads of the solo type logi ships because they can function on their own. In large fleets, electronic warfare is definitely not an issue because any fleet commander is going to call primaries on ECM first. Guaranteed every single time, ECM will be shot off the field immediately when it shows up. If you're getting ECM'd in a large fleet, then something is probably going wrong. Energy neutralizing will be more common, especially in large battleship fleets, because now we have things like nuke-geddons. Balegorns are not as popular anymore, but you'll generally see lots of newts going around in large fleets, especially in capital fights and whatever. So that can disrupt your chain, and it can really mess with the solo logistics ships as well. So that's something that you may need to look out for. Okay, so we're going to get into specific fits and whatnot a little later, but first I just want to touch on all of the modules. And again, this may be very rudimentary to people who are more experienced in the game. But I'm going to go over everything that you have the potential to be using on logistics ships, you know, on a normal day. So for your high slots, you'll generally be using remote shield boosters or armor repairs, depending on what type of ship you're flying, and a capacitor transmitter if you're in a bonus ship. If you have utility high slots, this can be common on the Scimitar and the Oneros. You can use a horror mail cannon, or whatever you want to call it, aka why would I PvP and not get kill mail? You don't always have to, but in PvP, it's nice to get on the kill mail. So generally, on my Scimitar, I will load up a single civilian gun and just shoot at the targets before they die. Smart bombs are also very useful. This is extremely useful in big fleets when there are drones everywhere. So basically, you can use them to defend from drones. So that's what I mentioned before, smart bombs being useful for. Now, medium slots, this is where it can get, you know, it can vary a lot, depending on what ship you're in, depending on what skills you have, depending on what fleet you're flying in, depending on the role that you want to fill. There are so many options. These are all of the mid slots that you'll probably encounter. So you have your general prop mod, so you have an afterburner or a micro warp drive, and again, you want to plan with your fleet. So if your fleet is using micro warp drives, you might want to use them. Or you might want to use the AB because you're going to be transversaling and you're just going to be sitting on gate or station. Then you have your shield mods, so you have your extenders, hardeners, involve. If you're using tracking links, they are also mid-slot. You have ECCM, which is electronic countermeasures. That's a mouthful. Just ECCM, people will know what you're talking about. So that stops you from being jammed. Sensor boosters can help you to target faster or further away, and it also counters dampening. So what dampening does, and I'm not going to talk about this a lot, but basically what you need to know about damps is that they will make it so you can't target far or you can't target quickly or both. So sensor boosters are a good counter that if you feel that you're going to be damped. Small gang right now, sensor damps are kind of really popular. It's kind of like a flavor of the month thing, but that could be subject to change. Capacitor batteries, this is kind of a situational thing. Generally, I've only seen capacitor batteries on ships that will be used in large fleets because of the newt prevalence. They help to counter newts. They give you a little bit of boost to your total cap, so it basically just makes you more stable in an unstable environment. And then you have your passive capacitor boosters, capacitor rechargers, which are passive, and the capacitor boosters, which are active. Then in your low slots, again, it can vary depending on the type of fit you're in. So if you're in an armor fit, you'll generally be using lots of buffer and resists for your low slots. You may or may not be using a damage control. Some ships, you can go without the damage control, depending. Some armor fits are better without damage control, some are not. Some shield fits will benefit from them, but sometimes you just can't fit it in the low slot. You also have backup arrays, which is a low slot version of ECCM. Capacitor boosters can be... I won't say that they are or are not used, but I'd say they're more prevalent in Oneros and Scimitars because they don't have the ability to cap chain. But it depends on your skills, really. So for the low slots, you have react control units, which give you power grid, coprocessors, and CPU. Generally, I wouldn't recommend using those two mods, especially the coprocessor. You shouldn't need a coprocessor for most fits. The reactor control unit sometimes you need for very, very, very tight power grid fits, or if you're trying to fit larger reps on your ship, then you might need to use it. Then you have your power diagnostic system, which is actually a wicked mod because it gives you capacitor, shield recharge, power grid shield, and cap bonuses. So it gives you that little bit of power grid, and it gives you a bonus to a bunch of other stuff that will be very useful to you if you're flying a shield ship. So these are common generally in Scimitars. And then you have your capacitor power relay, which is a low slot passive recharge. And I just want to mention, capacitor power relays, I believe the meta 4 is better than tech 2. Pretty sure you can quote me on that. I'm fairly confident in that fact. As for rigs, this is going to change depending on the ship that you're flying and what you need. So you might fit some buffer, you might fit some resists, or you might need some power grid. Power grid rigs are not uncommon in very heavy, especially the armor ships, because the plates take a ton of power grid. Yep, that's right, Kiv. It uses, it's easier to fit. ECCM mid, the meta 4 is also easier to fit than the tech 2 with the same stat. So again, power grid rigs are very common, especially in armor fits that are very power grid intensive. CCCs, which is capacitor control circuits, they are common in the non-link fits, where you'll be relying on your own capacitor recharge. And so generally this is going to change. I have some fits that use, you know, the resist rig. Sometimes I need an ancillary. Sometimes I need the triple C for the recharge. It really just depends on what ship you're flying, what fleet you'll be flying in, and how you want to build for whatever role you're trying to fill. Alright, and finally, we have drones. So this is, again, a matter of debate. You can use whatever kind of drones you want. I generally fly with scout drones, so some Warriors or some EC-300 E-War drones. Scout drones are good for getting on kill mails and adding DPS to your fleet, so you can assist them to your fleet commander, and they will just shoot whatever he shoots. E-War drones are good against tackle. They don't really work that well when you need them to, though, let's be honest. And you can also use them against logistics. So if you have, like, 5 Guardians in your fleet and they all have 5 EC-300s, that's 25 EC drones on one target, potentially. So that could really ruin his day. And then you also have maintenance bots, which we've spoken about. And again, it's very important to remember that the travel time and the fact that they can be destroyed can make them unreliable. So it's very important to keep this in mind when planning fits for your fleet. Okay, so that's it for the PowerPoint. I'm going to be showing off some fits right now, and we're just going to have a bit of a fit discussion. The fit discussion will be mainly focused on... you know, the different roles and how the different ships can fit into those roles. So So I'm going to pull up my EFT. Give me one moment. I will admit that I did take a look at some of the university fittings for my EC or my Logi. So they may be similar. If you want to check out the Eve Uni fits, a lot of them are quite good. So check those out, especially the T1. I didn't have a lot of T1 fits, but I managed to go through and get one of each. So I will link those in the chat once my EFT comes up here. Do we have any questions so far? Feel free to X up in channel or just ask away. Alrighty, EFT is up. I have too many fits, so it takes forever to load. Thank you. Yeah, for some people who may be a little more experienced, this may be, it might seem very dry. In the 102 course, I'm planning to really get in depth about cap chains and fleet tactics and broadcast windows and all the stuff that you'll need to know for fleets. But this is just very rudimentary, like, how do I sit in my ship and fly it properly? That's the goal today. If you're doing frigate roams, you can always go for the support frigates. I don't actually remember which ones are the support frigates, but there is a line of support frigates that get bonuses to reps and possibly energy transfers as well. I'm not sure. I've never flown them. I will admit I've never flown a frigate support, so I may be completely blowing smoke and don't know what I'm talking about, so that's my disclaimer. If you're flying with frigates, it might be okay to fly a Scythe. I like the Scythe because it's cheap and disposable, and it's actually a wicked good ship. Yeah, there you go. The Inquisitor and blah, 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 blah. The 102 and 103 are not on the calendar yet because I haven't finished the syllabus. I might actually just do it next Saturday. So maybe you might want to show up to that if you're interested. But again, the end goal is to talk about carriers. Yeah, let's talk about carriers. I think that's just because they linked it. Yeah, because of the bonuses on some of the ships, the Archon pretty much is like the only useful carrier right now in the meta, unfortunately. But that's a subject for another day. Chimeras are good, and Nidhoggers are good if you want to die. Sorry guys, I'm just having a little trouble with my EFT here. I'm pulling up all of my fits. Here we go. Alright, I'm just going to be using some imager links for my fits here. If you're interested in the fits, I would be happy to mail them to you or link them or something afterwards. So if you really like one of the fits or you want to check them out, save the image, or I can send it to you directly. Alright, so here's a scythe fit. I'd say that this is... It's not that difficult to get into, but as you can see, it's very tight on power grid and CPU. So yeah, for this one, you'll want to have generally maximum fitting skills. The site's bonuses are geared towards remote shield boosters and bots. So you have 3 slots to work with. And as you can see here, generally you can fit medium shield repairs on it. The 5 medium slots allow for a lot of flexibility. So you'll generally always want to have bot mods, so your MWD or afterburner. It's actually possible to afterburner fit your scythe. I like the micro warp drive because I can always control my engagement range and kind of get away if I need to. But afterburners may be better for transversaling enemy fire. But I like the kiting setup, but you are more than welcome to throw an AB on there and it will work just the same, just a little slower. So generally when you're flying a scythe or any solo small type of logistics ship, you want to have that ECCM. So that's the metaphor there, the conjunctive, which is better than T2, it's easier to fit. And yeah, you'll just have a general shield tank. And then in your low slots, you'll want to have lots of recharge. So as you can see, this is actually not a stable fit with the MWD running, which, you know, you wouldn't want to run the MWD all the time, but if you turn off the MWD, it's actually stable with good skills. So I will throw in the Exocur fit now. Yep. Yeah, it's generally possible to remain stable if you have your MWD running with one of your reps off. That's actually a really good thing to keep in mind. So here's a baby Oniros fit. This is for the Exocurrer. So just like the Scythe, it's pretty tight of a fit. It has bonuses to the remote armor rep, so you'll be using those. They have the 66 kilometer range, as you can see. The mid slots here are a little shorter because it's not an armor kind of ship, so here I've used 2 ECCM, which makes it very hard to jam. As you can see, it has a sensor strength of 60. You can see that under targeting in the bottom right. So that basically means how hard it is to jam. Just as a kind of to put things in perspective, a strong jam will have a strength of 15, roughly. So if you have 30... I don't know a lot about ECM, but I'm pretty sure it just works out to be half the time you'll be jammed if you have 30 against their 15. So with 60, you'll be very, very defensible against ECM. So for the Exocur here, we've used a cap booster. So it actually doesn't use passive, so you'll need to carry cap boosters in your cargo, to boost your capacitor. But this is an afterburner fit, so it's made kind of for brawling. So you just go in and you just orb somebody and pray to God that you don't get blown up while you tank. And then you rep your friends and hope that you live. By the way, if you guys have questions about the fits, feel free to speak up. Wow, Imager is being slow today. So here's a micro warp drive variant of the Exocurrer. So it's pretty much the same fit, just with a micro warp drive slapped on. I think the rigs may be different. Yeah, so this one requires an ancillary to fit on an MWD. But generally with the Exocurrer, you want to be, you know, you want to be thinking about your capacitor management. So here, I didn't have a lot of medium slots or low slots to spare for recharge, so I chose to go with the active recharge, which is pretty common for the Exocurrer and Oneiros, actually. So the low slots are all armor tank and then a reactor control to actually increase the power grid just a little bit more. Okay, so now I'll link my Osprey fit. So this is an Osprey fit. As you can see, it's very tight on CPU. It's not very power grid intensive, but generally with the shield fits, you'll be using a ton of CPU. So it's really important that you have your fitting skills up to snuff. The Osprey has bonuses to shield, so you'll be using those. You can use mediums, and you can use four of them with one transmitter. So generally what you would be doing in an Osprey here is you would be pairing up with another one and you would be linking capacitor to each other. And then you can send outbound rips, and generally you can do that. So I just want to explain something really quickly that some people may not know, and this is very useful for Logipilots, but if you have your EFT open, and you can try this right now if you have it handy or if you want to just give it a shot later, what you can do is at the bottom, there's a button called Projected Effects. So if you look at the capacitor on our Osprey right here, it's not cap stable at all. So if you actually open up Projected Effects, and then if you drag the remote capacitor transmitter into that box, it will actually make the fit stable. So I'm going to show you what that looks like. I just hope it shows up in the image, because it's actually really cool the way that it works. Yep. So you literally take the remote capacitor transmitter and just drag it into that box right there, and then you can see that the capacitor is now stable at 46%. So what this is saying is that if you have all of your mods active and you're receiving a remote cap transmitter from an Osprey, it's important, like Dan said in chat, is that it's very important that you drag the mod from the ship that will actually be sending it, because then it will apply the bonuses. So the ship has a bonus to the amount that it sends. It will compensate for that when you drag it from the fit into the box. If you just drag the mod into it, it'll just do the base stats with nothing else. So as you can see here, when linked with another Osprey, it's generally stable. You can turn the afterburner off, but you probably wouldn't be running the reps all day anyway, so if you turn off one of the reps, you're golden. So the Osprey is actually one of my favorite ships to dual box, because it's easy to fly for alts, and you can just like have an alt hook up with you, and you can just heal everybody. I've done that a couple times. So I'm actually going to do the same thing with my Augur or Fit, because it uses an energy transfer. So I'm going to save it with that. One thing before I talk about the Augur, I just want to point out for the Osprey, because it doesn't have a lot of medium slots, you don't really have a lot of space for ECCM, because you'll generally want to be using your mid slots for your tank. The resist profile is not very good if you don't use, you know, three resist mods like I have, and I even have the reinforcers at the bottom to boost it up. So I managed to get it above 70 in all of the fields, but that led to me not being able to use an ECM in the mids, which forced me to use the Gravimagic backup arrays in the bottom slots. So that's always an option too, is if you don't have space for ECCM, you can use the low slot ones. They're not as good, so you'll generally need two, like you can see here, but they're a good substitute when you don't have the mids to spare. So here's an Augur Fit. It's generally the same thing as the Osprey. It has the energy transfer sent from another ship, so, you know, as it would be in a real situation. And as you can see, it's actually very stable. This one has not a lot of mid, so you don't really have a lot of wiggle room, because since you'll be using your low slots for tank, you'll have to use your ECM in the mid generally. So I use two here. It brings it up to 56 sensor strength, which is very, very strong. And it has the afterburner just to kind of polish it off. The Augur is another very good, very disposable, easy to fly ship that if you can fly T1, get one of these ships and find a friend that has one, and you can just link up and go heal people. So the Osprey and Augur fits mostly, both of them had ABs. Generally you won't want to be using MWDs on the Osprey, Augur, Guardian, or Basilisk, simply because they're meant to just kind of sit there and take it. They have a lot of EHP, they have a lot of resist, they have a lot of buffer, so it's kind of what they're geared towards. So having the AB is very beneficial, because it stops them from, it doesn't cap them out as easily, and it keeps their SIG small so they can tank. You'll see that the SIG radius there is actually under 100 on the Augur, which is actually very good. Okay, so since I just spoke about the Augur and the Osprey, I'm going to get into the Guardian and Basilisk as well. So here's a Guardian Fit. What you'll notice here is that it has two energy transfers and five remote armor reps. There do exist fits that use five reps and one transfer, but they're not as cap stable. It's completely possible to use them that way, because they do output more, but the four reps and two transfer setup is very good for cap chains, because what it allows you to do is actually chain potentially to two people. As you can see here, I have it set up so that it's only receiving one transfer. So this shows the strength of the Guardian. The Guardian is a monster at logistics. It's cap stable while running all of its mods, including two transfers, while only receiving one. So this is huge because you can actually use your transfer to cap up people in your fleet, or you can double up your chain, which is awesome. Because then they are very difficult to nuke. ECCM, or ECM won't have as big of a... the Tech 2 current router, that's for Power Grid. You could upgrade it to two Tech 2 Power Grid rigs, but then I think you wouldn't need a hardwiring then. I always use a Power Grid hardwiring for logistics. I would recommend if you start flying T2 logistics that you always have a 3% Power Grid implant, because a lot of the fits will use them. Open mic, there we go. But if you want to spend maybe more on your ship and maybe not as much on your implants, the 3% Power Grid is only about 20 mil. I don't find it to be too expensive. But yeah, you have the option to use the Tech 2 rigs here if you don't want to use them. Yeah, and then you also have the option to use the Genolutions if you're really crazy and, you know, want to go for a really, really Power Grid heavy build. So this Guardian fit uses some faction hardeners. I don't believe they're required, but they do lower the CPU usage. So yeah, this is pretty much like a cookie cutter Guardian fit. It has an afterburner. The signature is tiny. It has 70 meter signature, so it can pretty much just orbit something and not have to worry about very much damage incoming. And then the resist profile is absolutely massive. So this thing has 50,000 EHP with max skills, and it can probably tank several thousand DPS just with a couple of reps on it. On some of my fits, I like to use a T2 1600 plate, but again, that's very Power Grid intensive, so that's up to you, but... Yeah, there you go. Very similar fit. So it has the T2 ancillary current routers for the Power Grid, and it just has the T2 large armor repair, so it pumps out a little bit more health. This is a Basilisk fit. It's very similar to the Guardian. It uses, four large and two transfers in power. It's not as stable as the Guardian, so knowing that it only has one transfer going. So with two transfers, it's more stable, but you have the option to split your other energy transfer off if you need to use it elsewhere. It has a very strong sensor strength because it's T2, so the T2 have a little bit higher just innately, so that makes them much more defensible against ECM. And then it just has the afterburner, so it works the same way. The signature is a little bigger because it's a shield chip, but the armor ones just kind of benefit from that a little more. So you can't sig tank as easily, but it has the same kind of principles where it just goes in and it tanks. Has 42k EHP, which is very good, and luckily this fit does not require an implant, but it's still very tight. So now I'm just going to show off a very specialized fit, actually, for those of you who are interested in incursions. Oh, by the way, that basilisk that I kind of stole off of the uni wiki, I believe, because I didn't really have a basilisk fit because I haven't really used them that often. How dare I? Okay, so here's the basilisk fit. Like I said, for those of you who might be interested in incursions, this is a fit that the ISN used when I flew with them. I hope they're not mad at me for publicly linking their fits, but they have a mailing list that sends them out anyway, so it's not a big deal. But this is a headquarters fit, so it's relatively tanked, but it uses tracking links. So even though I don't think the basilisk has a bonus to tracking links, but it still uses them. This is a micro warp drive fit. So the micro warp drive is just for moving between gates generally. So what you'll do is you'll anchor up on a can or something and you'll just turn your MWD off. But this is for moving very quickly. So you clear the pocket and then you just MWD to the gate and then you get out. So yeah, this fit, is more of a utility fit. It's lightly tanked because incursion fits tend to, you know, incursion fleets tend to run with a lot of logistics, so you can generally get away with a little less tank, as long as your pilots are good, and they really work to maximize the DPS potential of their fleet, so using those tracking computers are actually very important to them. Yeah, the signature is huge on this fit because the MWD is on. So if you turn it off, it's actually a lot more, it's not as bad. Okay, so next we're going to talk about the Scimitar. This is probably my favorite logistics ship, I guess. It's pretty awesome for small gang stuff. It's extremely versatile. You can use it in almost any fleet situation unless they're flying armor. But the Scimitar is just a badass when it comes to nullsec roaming, and it's literally the jack of all trades, and it just, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, check out the uni fits for logistics for incursions as well. I have some Vanguard fits as well that I can be linking as well. Oh, there we go. So this is a Scimitar fit. So this is with all the modules on. It's still stable at 39% with the micro warp drive on. Generally, you won't be running with the MWD on all the time. But if you're in a situation where you're flying away really quickly and you're repping and your tank is on and everything, then this is a really good fit to show that, you know, this thing can be cap stable and still be under so much pressure. So it uses larges. The low slots for Scimitars are they can change depending on what you want to do. So here, I've used the power diagnostics, I believe, to get a little bit of power grid. As you can see, it's very tight. So I use that to pump up the shield resist a little bit. The CPRs in the bottom. Actually, those are T2. I'm a noob. What am I doing? I guess it doesn't really matter because they fit anyway, but, yeah, the thing about the Scimitar is that the low slots will vary wildly depending on what you're doing. So this uses T2 triple C rigs and it's just a cap stable beast. Yeah, or you can not be a kill nail whore like some people and use the full high slot rack. Now, one thing that I like about the Scimitar, like I said, is that it's very versatile. So here is a fit that is used for incursions. I also got this when I flew for the ISN. I'm not sure which one that is, actually, but this is a very lightly tanked Scimitar fit with four tracking computers on it. So this is like a paper-thin, oh god, I'm going to die, but my fleet has a lot of DPS and Logi, so I'm going to be okay fit. So it has the damage control and an invuln, and that is it. So very, very paper tank, but very, very effective at what it does. No prop mod, it's basically just go in and orbit and pray while your fleet blows things up. And I also have a headquarters fit as well. Yeah, exactly. As long as everything dies before I do, it's okay. So this one is for headquarters, apparently, as it's labeled. Has the afterburner this time and a bit of tank, and then it also runs with two tracking computers. So it has a little bit more of a resist profile than the other one. It's actually quite good because the Scimitar just has an awesome resist profile by default. But this fit has the utility of the tracking computers and the tank with the afterburner, and if you use the T2 ancillary, you can use all large in the high slots, and it's great because it repairs a ton, and it also has the utility. And again, going off the versatility of the Scimitar, we have a potential fleet fit. So this fit uses an afterburner instead of a microwarp drive, which you would normally see. So this is for those big brawl fleets where things are being blown up all over the place and you just need to survive. So as you can see, the EHP on this thing is actually bigger than a Guardian, I believe. So it has almost 60k, 10,000 shields, huge resist profile. This thing is just a brick that reps shield, so it's great. Yeah, the tracking computers are for other people, not for yourself. Yeah, so basically what they do is they put the tracking computers on the big ships, like the Makarios, using artillery, so they can hit things and apply their damage easier. So again, this is a fleet fit for a Scimitar. It uses an afterburner, so they would just go in and start orbiting and hope that they don't die. Huge resist profile, and they just tank. So these are used in big hack blobs and stuff like that. I use this fit in Black Legion quite a bit. Yeah, I keep calling them tracking links, but apparently they're called remote, tracking computers now, I guess. They did this whole nomenclature thing where they updated, like, remote armor repairs and remote shield boosters, Shield boosters were called like shield transporters now, and energy transfers are now capacitor transmitters, and it's just weird. Yeah, it's CCP in a nutshell. Alright, so we got one more ship to cover, sorry. So the Oneiros is probably the most versatile of any of the Legistic ships because it can fit into any of the three roles and it just has a wicked amount of utility and I'd say next to the Scimitar, I love flying Oneiros as well. So here's an Oneiros fit. Now this is what's called a dual propulsion fit. This was popular when Zealots were like the king of Sov blobbing and armor hacks were like the greatest thing in the world before they changed them. Basically the idea behind this ship is that it has the option of using a micro warp drive and an afterburner. You'll notice that it has both. The first Scimitar, one that I linked, can be used for kiting fleets. That's my general fit for MWDing away. So this Oneiros fit, has the option to use an afterburner and a micro warp drive. You can't use them at the same time, but basically the idea here is that you can control range with your micro warp drive, and then you can use your afterburner to signature tank. So you can control the engagement range by staying away from brawlers and tackle. But then once you're actually getting shot at, you can use the afterburner. So this is an awesome fit, extremely versatile in any armor fleet, because no matter what, you're going to be able to get into range and you're going to be able to tank. It has a 50k EHP buffer. It's just a wicked ship. If you wanted to tweak that to not be dual prop, what you could actually do is simply drop the afterburner and throw on a tracking computer, or you can use the other mid slot however you want. But dual prop is, I don't know if it's as popular as it once was, but it's still a very, very, very good application of what the Oneiros is good at, which is tanking and being quick. So again, if you wanted to, you could just drop the AE and throw on the tracking link or whatever you want to fit in your mid slots. Maybe another cap booster. A double cap booster fit could be appropriate if you feel that you're going to get neutered, or you could just use the mid however you want. And the final fit of the day. This is a fleet fit that I used when I was in Black Legion. This is another great application of the Oneiros' strengths because it has an afterburner for SIG tank. And again, this is a fleet fit. So this is the kind of, you know, the kind of ship that you're using in a fleet where, you know, things are blowing up all over the place and there's 1,000 people on grid and it's just, you know, things are getting blown up and you don't want to get blown up. So you have the afterburner there to help you transversal. Has an extremely heavy armor tank, so it has almost 63k EHP, which is great for Logie. And then the thing that I really like about the ship is that it has the medium capacitor battery. Now this isn't seen very commonly, but I really like it on this fit. Oh, and the sensor booster as well, because it really gives this ship a lot of defense against neuting and dampening, which you will see a lot. Neuting is in really big fleet fights, and damping are just, like I said, it's kind of the flavor of the month right now in PvP as far as I've seen. And then also, if you check out the high slots, it has that utility high used for the smart bomb. So you could use a gun here, or you could go with the smart bomb, and because this fit is is relatively stable. Like, even with everything running, it's stable for 4 minutes. So you have the option of using that smart bomb to blow up drones, and that's going to help out huge in a large fleet fight. So this thing has a small SIG of 70 meters, and it's very quick. It's 600 meters per second, which is awesome for an A-bead armor ship. It has a huge tank, and it's actually not as susceptible to newts and sensor dampening. So this thing is just... it's so versatile how the Oniro is, like, it can just do whatever you need it to do, depending on how you fit it. You can literally make it work in almost any situation, and I think that that is awesome. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers all of the ships and fittings. Again, like, the fittings that I'm linking, it's just, like, general ideas and ways to apply the ship strengths to the different roles, so brawling, skirmishing, big fleets. You don't have to fit them, you know, you can fit your ships however you want. You should be fitting them according to your own skills, but earlier in the lecture I outlined everything, you know, all the different options that you have. There's tons of mid-slot stuff. There's so many things that you can add and be creative with, and I think that Logi is really cool because every ship is so versatile in how you can apply it to different situations. So yeah, do we have any outstanding questions? Speak up in lecture channel, anyone? Did I cover everything? I couldn't have covered everything. Come on. Yeah, I think I'm going to tweak the... I think you can stop recording now, actually. I think we're pretty much done. Unless anybody else has any more questions, but I'd really love it if I could get your feedback, guys, if you want to just send me a mail. Again, my name is Dave. Please call me Dave. If you ever contact me, call me Dave. My name is Dave. Please call me by my first name. I like having friends online. It's cool.
Awesome job, Dave.
Thank you very much. So if you have any questions about anything, feel free to mail me, feel free to contact me, whatever. Say hello if you see me in local. I'll try not to shoot you, maybe. I'll be flying logistics anyway, so it's not like I can do much, right? yes, I will link the PowerPoint in the thread on the forums. I'll link all of my material there. If you want any of the fits, I can get to you as well. One thing that I just wanted to point out, though, is there is a video that I think is awesome, and if you're new to logistics or if you're on the fence about flying logistics, I think this video will totally, like, convince you that logistics is the greatest thing ever. So I would convince you to go check it. It's called Ironclad. It's a video by Rooks and Kings, and it highlights the strengths of the Guardian as well as the Triage Archon. Clarion Call is also very good. The material in Clarion Call is what I'm hoping to cover in 102 and 103, but definitely check out Ironclad. It shows you just how kick-ass Guardian can be ship, and they just... When the metagame was evolving, I wasn't really playing the game at the time, but I'm assuming that they really, like, you know, the strengths of the ship and really showed people how it can work, so. Yeah. Anatomy of a Fight is also wicked. These will all be resources that I'll be referencing in the next courses. So again, thanks for coming. If you have any feedback, please let me know. I think what I'm going to do is maybe try to shorten in the whole thing in general, maybe make it a little less dry. I think the fitting thing could be a little more fluid, but yeah, if you have any feedback, let me know. I'm hoping to get the syllabus for 102 and 103 done either this week or next week. If I'm really feeling ambitious, I'll try to hammer out the 102 syllabus for next Saturday and maybe look at doing it at the same time next week, depending on the calendar. I haven't looked at it yet, but that'll be, yeah, that'll be the next step is 102 and 103. So again, it'll be covering some more logi tactics, so energy chaining and fleet etiquette and all that kind of good stuff. And then 103 will be all about carriers. So if you're interested in carriers, even if you think you'll never fly one, it's super interesting and it's just good to know. So yeah, again, thanks guys. I appreciate you coming. I didn't even realize how many people were here, so.